It's time for Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. A look at real estate and property management in the Great Land. Alaska Realty Today, brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Hi, welcome to Alaska Realty Today. I'm Lisa Maynard.
And I'm Kirk Maynard.
And we have yet again a very special guest with us joining us in the studio.
I almost feel like I should change my name to Jamie Maynard.
Emphasis on special.
Today, we're going to take a little bit of a lighthearted look at some of those real estate myths that are hanging out there and just talk about some of the things that you can ignore when you see people saying specific things about real estate.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much information out there. People can sometimes get overload, but we're here to debunk all that. We're here to cut through it, tell you what's right, what's wrong, what's real. Whoa.
Yeah.
Howdy.
No, I think it's important to take a look at those things. You know, I think that especially in this day and age, I was just hanging out with somebody and we were talking about deals and we were talking about saving money. And I think that's something that, you know, everybody's looking to save money.
Yes.
And especially with even home sales, you're looking. So like I'm selling a house right now out on in North Pole, and that specific house that I'm selling, his friend is selling his own house. And so I just said, who did his comparables, who's helping, who's doing the marketing? And he said, you know, that individual is doing it all by himself. And so we talked a little bit about.
So he got on like Zillow or something and tried to find comparables. And
yes.
We're hoping.
Yeah.
Well, it might not even be that.
And again, whenever I talk about those things with people, how do you even do that? You know, how do you find comparables and how do you look at things? Because a lot of people just look at, what do I think my house is worth? And that's a really hard thing to do. You know, like, I mean, even when I ran the comparables on our own house, we were really shocked at how much more it's worth. But like when I was just messing around, my husband said, I don't think our house is worth very much. I said, it really is. But I mean, when you just look at it, because we haven't done that many updates to our house yet, he was like, I just don't think we've done enough. Based on things he hears
sure.
me talk about, he was like, I just
right.
don't think we've invested enough in the house because we're doing a lot of outdoor maintenance.
Wait, he listens to our radio show?
He does. He does. He listens to it. So the Maynard and Maynard and Maynard show.
Well, I did just come back from Utah, but
and I also think with things going on with the economy and so forth, that we see people sort of circling around of trying to save that money. So you have that for sale by owner.
Yes.
They read some headlines and they think they can save thousands of dollars. And that is the farthest thing from the truth when you really analyze for sale by owner properties,
yeah.
They tend to leave a lot of money on the table.
Yeah, either they underprice it or overprice it. So they overprice it by 20-25%, and then it gets stigmatized, and then they have to bat it back all the way down past what it should have been listed at, and then end up losing money. Or they just undersell themselves, like Lisa just said. I've seen it both ways, and I've seen a couple numbers. 20-25% is a kind of a common number that I've seen.
Well, and I've even seen posts where people claim it's 5 easy steps to sell your house on your own. Well, that's not a feasible thing to even put out there, just because if you're selling your property on your own, you're dealing with all the state paperwork on your own, you're dealing with all the title work on your own, you're dealing with all the marketing, you're dealing with finding photographers. I mean, it's a long, long list. I think for buyer representatives, I think, because we're working on some new marketing, I think I'm up to 144 things a buyer's representative does during a transaction or a listing.
We just closed that one on Moonshine, and then three of us, well, four including you, it was four of us to close it, and it was exhausting. And that's four of us put our fingers in, not including the buyers or the buyer's agent. So it was a it was a lot. There's definitely a lot that goes into it.
I always feel like with family, you never know how things are going to go. So
Bad.
Yes. But actually, I had a fantastic transaction. I sold a piece of property for a family member, and they said, we considered for sale by owner. And I said, why didn't you? And they said, after going through this transaction and all the little steps, because I kept them informed of things that I was doing, kept them updated with emails. We did a group text just so they were kept in the loop of stuff. So I didn't want them to feel excluded. They were like, there is no way. There's no way that I could have kept up with this and then think about packing, think about arranging all of the extra stuff. And they said, they were getting frustrated just hearing some. I was like, just so you know, I need to come do this or this is what's going on. And they were just like, it just sets me off at a 10 when they're, you know, seeing some of the things that are going on, just as far as negotiation or, and they're like, I take it so personal. And I said, it's not personal. It's a negotiation. But when they can remove themselves and I'm doing the transaction for them, that took their stress level from a 10 to a 2.
Yeah.
And they said if they had been doing that for sale by owner, they would have just walked.
No, and
repeatedly.
I'm so glad you said that. Negotiation is a huge thing. I mean, that could alone pay for what you
yes.
charge your fee. And like yesterday, I negotiated. We have we represent a seller. The buyer is unrepresented, and I was negotiating with them, and I got $50,000 more out of the transaction for our sellers on it. So,
yes.
I mean, it's a thing. So if you think you're comfortable negotiating, but you in reality, you might not be as good as or savvy as a negotiator when you're trying to do it on your own.
Selling a home and selling a car are two completely different things. I hear more and more, well, I sell my car on Facebook. I can just
right.
sell my house. And it's a very different transaction.
Oh, my gosh, and 100%.
On top of just negotiations, the transaction management, most likely you're working a full-time job as you're selling your home. And the transaction management and the amount of phone calls that need to be made during business hours, reaching out to the loan office, reaching out to title, reaching out to home inspector, you know.
Right.
It can become very overwhelming. And this is in the middle of you doing another full-time job.
Right. Oh, I mean, I was just even thinking about, I did a transaction and my client was like, I just hope to break even. And I was like, we need to do the comps on this. We're going to more than break even. Like, we're going to not only pay for everything, you're going to pay for my services and you're going to make a profit on this. Like, I had already run the comps once for her. I said, you know, we're going to run the comps again right before we go live with this house. And she was shocked. She was like, if I had done this by myself, I would have shortchanged myself. I just was trying to, you know, break even on what I owed. I would have never even done this. I'm so glad I brought in somebody. And I was like, oh my gosh, yes, it's so worth it. Cause you're right. You really do. You're not sure how things work when you're out of your element in that. And it is so different. It's very different than looking at Kelly Blue Book and thinking, oh, well, I already know what I've done to my car versus you don't drive your house. You know, it's a very different beast
so
in itself.
True.
So, you know, it's looking at, you just don't know how to do that product than it is to look at Kelly Blue Book and think, okay, well, I know I've four-bied in this, so I'm going to take a little bit off here, or I'm going to do this, or I just really want to move this car because I need to buy something else new versus what I think I could get out of my house.
And I also hear people, well, I'm going to go to the property database and look at my assessed value.
Oh, yes.
And this will happen on both sides. I mean, both buyers and sellers going by the property database is most likely, in most instances, not the best source of financial information as far as a real estate transaction.
Yes. And I can't tell you how many people, when I've, you know, run into friends, the Zillow estimate or Zestimate, you know, I'm like, where'd you get that? Oh, I got it off Zestimate. And I'm just like, the first time I'd heard that, to be honest, I didn't know what that was. I looked it up and then went, this is, I mean, those prices are all over the place.
They can be somewhat accurate in big cities and big neighborhoods with lots of sales of common properties.
Sure.
And also they can be more accurate in disclosure states. Not everyone will realize the state of Alaska is a non-disclosure state. So a lot of our real estate transaction information does not filter up to Zillow. So they're just filling in their own blanks with their numbers. Right. We've seen properties that Kirk sold two, three years ago. They show active on Zillow with a price that's
yes.
not even related to the property. It's so strange.
We're at closing yesterday, and the title officer or the escrow officer had to explain to the buyer that we're a non-disclosure state. They sent a document that says, you know, $10. And so
that's
the number. But back to the Borough database, yeah, so for you guys that don't know, that information is not to – it's for assessing your taxes. It's
yes.
not for selling your house. And so it's for a accumulation tax roll that they need to fund your area school or your roads or and that's them doing a drive-by, not going inside your house.
Correct.
And then the drive-by was done sometime last summer, not just yesterday. So it's all sorts of – not
yeah.
as accurate as it could be. So, and it works. It works for the borough. We've had Mayor Ward on here before. We've talked about how that, you know, how that all works. And obviously they jacked it up on everybody.
But they do use one of their main sources is a unique source to use, which I will not say that they're basing it on, which is going to the fact you're going
Estimates?
To going to something that doesn't have all the information, but now the borough is using it to make the numbers. So, yeah, it's a little convoluted up here.
And speaking of Zillow, so, okay, Zestimates, Zillow's been around for what, 10, 15, 20? I don't know how long they've been around, but Zestimates, I've never seen anything accurate. We all agree that our professionals at Zillow, Zestimates, yep, are not a thing. The other one, another myth that people see when they get on Zillow is that the house is available if, yes, they see it. I just had it today. Somebody looked, sure, it up, and I'm like, no, they lag in their reporting, so...
They try to be really good, but there are definitely weird blank spots and weird – it's almost like they pull in stuff that they don't have enough, because I've seen properties that he has closed 2 years ago, and then suddenly it's showing accurate, not even listed. They're just having it pop up, but people jump to the conclusion it's on the market because they saw it on Zillow. Some of those are just placeholders with pictures and a value. It doesn't say it's listed or anything.
Right.
It's just a little spot they dropped an extra picture. So yeah, you got to really watch what you're looking at.
Yeah. So I tell people we're going to set up on our MLS. That way you don't have to get on
10,000 websites.
Yeah. You don't have to go to my website even. You don't have to go anywhere but the most accurate information, which is coming from the MLS.
Right.
And then another thing is we run into a lot is everyone thinks all real estate brokerages are the same. And it's just like saying every restaurant is the same, because real estate brokerages will have different specialties, things they excel at, the market they seek to provide services to, and not everyone is exactly the same. So you really need to do your homework and find out what's the best fit for you as a buyer or a seller or a property manager, property investor who's looking for property management and so forth, because there's some in our community, there's some that specialize more in commercial, there's some that specialize more in only buyer representation, there's like us, we're a full service, we provide all different streams, including land, property management, all that, but not everyone is the same, so you really want to do your homework and make sure that you're getting the fit that's right for you and right for your transaction.
And make sure you're getting somebody that cares. I'm not saying all real estate professionals don't care, but, you know, we commonly tell our clients that we will treat this purchase or this sale like we'd be treating our own house. And that's true. That's the way it should operate. So I just don't know that everybody does that.
Yeah, you really have to, especially our motto is humans over houses at our brokerage. And our focus is for the individual and to get them to the most successful spot they need to be in. And that's what works for us as our brokerage and what's important to us.
And I've got to go back to the for sale by owner thing one more time. I'm so sorry, yeah, but I'm just thinking, yeah, about a listing that we have coming up, yeah, that we're about to go live on, but she was going to sell it for $150,000. And we said, no, you can get a little work done to it. And well, you know, here's the market analysis, here's the comparables, and, you know, $245,000 is where it needs to be at. So
right,
we don't want to leave money on the table. We don't want it to overprice it. We just want it to be a good, accurate, marketable price. And so, you know, hopefully we just saved her $95,000. And just make sure you're doing your homework and you're getting the right information before you go buy or sell a house.
And speaking of prices, another big myth is go strong and high, because that will leave you room for negotiations when offers come in. And I know I'll let Kirk go with this one because I know what you're going to say.
What am I going to say?
You're going to say if you go high, you could lose out on a number of buyers because they're not going to even see that listing because it's outside of their price range.
Yeah, it's very important to accurately price your property. And everybody, and if you've listened to the show or been a regular listener, you'll know that the 20 years we've been doing this, I know I keep saying 20 years, that we are 98% list price to sales price. So that is the norm, and it's not like we vary that much from buyer's market to seller's market. So,
yeah, I think that's so important to look at the pricing and make sure that we
were just discussing how it's important not to overprice your property from the get-go, thinking that's going to leave you room for negotiation. Because sometimes, and Kirk has pointed this out many times, but when you go in probably a little too strong, you're going to miss the opportunity to work with some buyers because it will be outside of their price range. Just ticking up a little bit more, you can lose people that will not see those properties in your feed.
Yep. No, that's one good reason. And just overpricing your property. We might even go look at a house if it's overpriced. You know,
right,
if it's $5,000, okay, well, we know that we can negotiate down. But if it's, you know, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 overpriced, then You know, it might be unrealistic that we can even achieve a contract on it. So right. why even go look at it?
Well, and it's weird. Like, I don't – sometimes I scroll Facebook just to see some of the extra pictures. They'll put maybe different pictures on that I'll send over to a client and just say, see, I told you that they had an extra room or the space you were looking for. I do think we should go see this. But sometimes on for those for sale by owners, I've seen buyer agents not welcome or some things
pretty
that
very
I, yeah.
negative verbiage, and I'm just which like, can put off people from either direction.
Yes. And I've had a couple of my buyers that have been very nervous because they're just like, well, that it feels very shady. So, you know, or I had a couple, there were some houses that were very close together, very similar price difference, $100,000,
wow.
everything
wow.
very different. And to me, it felt very personal, like the house, like where you're pricing personally.
Yeah.
And so that's something else where we've had a lot
An
of clients.
Seller.
Yes. Where you get super emotional to the house. The story starts, you know, like even I've had a couple clients that have maybe gone even without me to go see a house on their own. They've come and they've said, oh, I went to see this for sale by owner and we got sucked into the story. We're not interested. It's very, you can tell that it's priced really based on they had their kids there or the information. And so I think that can really affect the sale.
It just leads to a better transaction when buyers and sellers just are realistic about it. So
yeah.
a realistic pricing, a realistic offer, it just leans to more of a genuine transaction
yes.
and a better overall transaction.
We're going to continue our discussion about debunking some real estate myths out there after this short break.
Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa
you okay?
Mayer returns right after this on 97.5 FM KFAR Radio.
Each week, people are saving big time. With the radio station's weekly 50-50 Friday offer, there's simply no better way to promote your business. As our 50-50 Friday promotion airs every hour, every day for a full week on 8 of Fairbanks' most popular radio stations, there's simply no better way to get the word out about your business. So if you have a grand opening plan, maybe a big sale, special event or promotion, or just want to get the word out, this is the best way to let the public know about it. As your business receives more than $10,000 in promotional value over the course of 1 week, with your ads playing constantly, as well as being promoted live by our talented local radio announcers. And the best part, all that it costs you are some gift certificates. It's 50-50 Friday from the radio station, which is why we have local businesses sign up again and again and again. Call us today and tell us you want to promote your business with 50-50 Friday. It's the best way to let Fairbanks know. With the radio station's weekly 50-50 Friday offer, there's simply no better way to promote your business. Period.
Hi, this is Kirk and Lisa Maynard with Next Home Arctic Sun Realty.
We've been handling residential, commercial, and property management in Fairbanks for decades.
And nobody knows the market better.
Selling season is here, and the time to sell your home is now.
Here at Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, we offer exceptional visibility through high-end photography, along with Matterport 3D tours to showcase each home.
And each office is independently owned and operated.
So call us today, 456-4653.
Or online at nexthomearcticsun.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. And then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., and Explore Fairbanks at 1:30. All 3 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio.
Now, we return to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Welcome back to Alaska Realty Today, and we're going to continue talking about some of those real estate myths we'd like to debunk about our industry.
Yeah, so well, the next myths that we were taking a look at, we're looking at homes as the best first step.
Oh my gosh, I can speak to that.
Okay, go.
No, you need to go get pre-approval. Go, you know what I hear all, this is what I've literally heard for the last 3 months. I've heard, I don't want to wreck my credit score, so I'd rather just look at homes first. I cannot tell you how many homes I have missed out on that my client says, this is the house I want, and I go, that's great. Let's put an offer. I don't have my pre-approval letter. And then we go to get it, and the house is already gone by the time we get the pre-approval letter. And they're so upset because it takes a week to 3 weeks to get the pre-approval, depending on
the lender you're working with. And that's an important thing to remember. And then it was interesting you mentioning that they're afraid it's going to hurt their credit report. And I'm going to use sort of, it's a soft hit on your credit. This is not anything that's dinging your credit when you're applying for a mortgage. It's not dropping your credit score.
No.
It's a soft hit. It's just an investigatory looking at the financial basis of your existence, basically.
And it is so worth it because I would say 10 times out of 10, my clients find a house that they want. Even when they're saying, oh, I don't think I'm even ready to go find a house. They're ready to find a house. They find something they want. And we're not ready to go purchase, or they have led me to believe that they have a pre-approval letter, but it's expired because it's been so long since they've looked, which I was also surprised by, that it's been over a year or 14 months.
Mm-hmm.
And while we can get it pretty quickly, it's just been so long, we still have to do some groundwork.
Sure,
to
you
get
might
that.
Provide new statements, bank statements, W-2s.
Yes.
Basically, you go with every 90 days, don't you? Sort of as your benchmark of making sure after 90 days that you might want to touch base with your lender.
Let's say we take a little break at looking because whatever, the interest rates are too high or there's no houses on the market, and we come back and 90 days is a good number, Lisa. And that's when I'll say, hey, before we go back, make sure you update your approval so we can be ready to go.
Yes.
And it's also very, inventory is still extremely tight in our market. So it's with your clients that they had those extra few days, the other offers were presented in that time frame, and that's going to be very typical in our market right now with low inventory and especially at specific price points. You just have to be prepared with all your ducks in a row when you want to make an offer.
Quick tangent on that. Our chief economist for the National Association of Realtors says we would need to double the amount of inventory out there in the country to balance out the market. So
I think what surprises people is we are going to showings and the house we are going to see or the property we are going to see is selling while we are heading there. That's how fast things are flying off the market. And I think sometimes that people see a repeat of a house because they do. They go off the market, they come back on the market. Some of those are million-dollar homes. Some of those are homes that need updates. Some of those, you don't know what is happening with that specific property.
Mm-hmm.
But because maybe they've seen a repeat, they're like, oh, it's not going that fast. Most of the properties are leaving that quickly. And I'm not saying every property is going while you're going to a showing, but some property is only staying on the market 72 hours. Some property is staying on the market 6 weeks. But I swear it is the time that you are going to look. Multiple people are going to look at that property. And it's like you want to be, it is so much better as a realtor when we can go in strong, we can have an only offer versus having to be in a competitive offer.
Agreed.
You want to do the next one?
Sure. Do people even need to use a realtor to buy a house?
So this is sort of on the flip side of what we were just discussing on the listing side of a for sale by owner is we're also seeing buyers going to the market unrepresented. And it's the same what we talked about when you're listing a property. And there's a reason realtors are full-time professions. And if you're trying to negotiate your own transaction, finding homes, reaching out to schedule showings, it gets very complicated very quickly. How to analyze the state's disclosures. What does that all mean? How, looking at a listing packet, what is that information in there?
Right.
You need an expert to sort of guide you to make sure you're getting into the best possible position for your home. And that's just, there's reasons there are professionals out there to help you to do that.
Yeah. I think if you're going to spend that much money, I think having somebody that's there to guide you and walk you through all of that information.
Be your Sherpa.
Yeah. And I mean, to me, I feel like that's what we're there for. I think that regardless of whether or not I was a realtor, and even if I got out of this profession, I would totally recommend someone getting a realtor. And I think that it's important because it's somebody that's there to, you're already focused on moving and all of the stress that comes with that. And I think I read an article when I worked in residence life years ago. And it said that I think death and moving were the two most stressful things that happened.
Yeah, those are like, three right there.
And so I thought... Yeah, but I mean, when you look at those things, but when you look at moving, the amount of steps that comes with that, and then you have somebody that's going to take care of all of the other stress. So the person that's going to help with this transaction, tell you where you need to be, tell you each, like every time I do a transaction, I'm like, listen, I'm going to walk you through these steps. I expect you to forget everything I say, and I'm going to repeat myself
over and over. In a perfect world, we would just go show a house and then we'd just go to closing and it'd be great. But
Or
the next
so
perfect world
steps.
Would be you just write the offer and then you just sit back and wait and then everything's good. It never works out that way.
Right.
Maybe occasionally there's like a nice, easy, normal, but it's just rarely that way. And some are super crazy complicated that are just...
every transaction.
For you, you've had some complicated ones.
Well, and especially in our market, we have a lot of people that are new to our area.
Yes.
And probably the first time they've lived in our environment. And so you need someone that has some of that on the ground knowledge of like what you want to look at a home in our area.
Right.
It's not going to be the same thing as the house you're looking for in Texas.
Right.
And so there's just different things that have to be considered and pointed out and talked about. And it's not, you can't just read a whole bunch of articles and figure out how to do it.
And at the end of the day, honestly, like, I want someone that's going to advocate for me. I want somebody that's going to ask questions that I might miss, or I want somebody that's going to, you know, be there and show up. What if I can't go to my engineer inspection? I want my realtor to be there and ask those questions or be my eyes and ears on the ground and do those things for me. I want, you know, that's really why you want somebody to make sure that they're there to advocate. Or if I'm not a good negotiator, but I really only want to pay $10,000 less because that really would help me in the long run, I want them to fight that battle for me if I can, or if I can't pay the closing costs, or, you know, or at least they're giving it the best run that they can. You know what I mean? Like, or they're coming to the table for me, or they're getting me the chattel list, or, you know, I mean, I had one client that they had 2 acres and I thought, there's no way they're going to mow this lawn without this riding lawnmower. We're getting that on the chattel list. And I mean, we fought
Lenders
that.
Did not hear that.
The what?
Lenders did not hear.
Of course, that was just there. But I think, I think those are the important things, that you have somebody that's advocating for you and making sure that there's those things, that you're having those discussions, that you're getting those things, that the paperwork is done for you, and that's walking you through step by step. I just think that that's the service you want.
Well, yeah, and then just think about if you're unrepresented going in as a buyer, you're writing your own addendums. Like, let's say your transaction isn't closing as quickly as it needs to. There's extra steps at title, or there's extra steps with your lender and so forth. You would be the one writing that addendum. Then you're getting it to the right parties, making sure the right parties sign it, making sure it's given to the copies of those addendums be sent out to the necessary parties. There's just a lot of steps that would be really hard to just do all by yourself.
Yeah.
Another myth is, I'm buying a newer house, I don't need a home inspector.
Oh my gosh. Yes. To me, they're worth every penny. Every penny.
So even if it's a new property, things can get missed.
Yes.
Things can get missed.
We did a 1-year-old property and we looked at the home inspection. There was probably 18 items on there that in the new build, it was not even a year old, that had been missed, that needed to be fixed, touched up, things that had were just a little bit off. And I was like, this is fabulous, because again, it's either the punch list or things that were going to be fixed before they moved in.
And it's different eyes. Like,
yes,
one set of eyes is going to not catch everything. So that second, yes, there we have many reputable builders up here and they go through their PR 1102s and so forth, and they're excellent people to work with, but everyone can see it a little differently, and there's nothing wrong with having that second set of eyes, even if it's a newer property.
Right.
And also, they provide so many other services about how to maintain your property and so forth. In the reports, there's not just, oh, this needs to be fixed. There's also, hey, in the winter, you need to do this. Hey, in 1 year, I recommend doing that. So there's a lot of other benefits.
But there's a good chance a house didn't go through the ICBO inspections or the ICC inspections. So there's that. Then you get Johnny Screwgun that goes and builds a house, and then it doesn't mean it's perfect. So you need to have somebody go through there and take a look at it.
Yes.
And especially back in the 2000s when we were just slapping houses together, it was just they
there
need
was
to go
a
back.
A rush.
We need to go back and correct those.
Things from the transfer station.
That was just a few. Thank you so much for joining us today. Go enjoy your Saturday and stay tuned for The Buzz.
You have been listening to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio and streaming live at KFARradio.com. To hear this program or past episodes, simply log on to KFAR.com and click the Archives tab to find Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, right here in Fairbanks. This has been a presentation of KFAR Radio, produced by Glenn Anderson, the Last Frontier Media Active Production.